Hi, welcome to Flow State Stories from the Creative Process. And this week I have a one-on-one interview with the fantastic Ian Robinson. Hi, Ian.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Good, man. I've known you for a number of years. I was just wondering, though, if you could tell the audience who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Ian Robinson. I'm a creative director with my own company, Softbox Media. I've been in broadcast television for over 20 years. I've worked with clients like Discovery, Animal Planet, National Geographic, PBS, countless other, you know, independent documentary filmmakers and different things like that. So a lot of people might know me from my instructing. I do a lot of courses on LinkedIn Learning. I also have a site with you, Nick, called Creative 111. And I'll have some more stuff with Force Effects coming out here shortly that I'm very excited about.
I should have just asked you like what you don't do. I feel that would have been a better question. But
yeah,
it's so you've been in the industry for quite a while now. I was wondering if you could speak to a little bit about like, how did you actually get your start? Like, how did you get your start in as being a creative director and then also in training?
Yeah. So I got a job straight out of college at a pretty large post house in the Washington, D.C. area. I was recommended by my college professor, and I wasn't even in the button pushing at that time. I ended up in the duplication department back when people had tapes and stuff. And I would answer the phone and run duplication requests. And then thankfully, several months in, the head of the editing department asked me if I wanted to be an assistant editor. So I kind of made my way over that way. And then I hopped around to another post house. And then I went freelance when the economy kind of went sideways. A whole bunch of people had gotten laid off from our post facility. And it was great because I was laid off at 10 in the morning. And then to that afternoon, I had an office down the street for myself and my first client and 6 months worth of work. So it was actually the best thing that could have ever happened to me. And thankfully, my dear friend, Robbie Carman, who was the person who asked me if I would like to get some desk space in his facility, kind of really helped me, you know, get my footing after all of that. And then things just kind of went from there. I got referred, well, I'd been teaching at the post facility. They had also had an education department. So I was teaching editors how to get started with Photoshop for video. And then of course, as After Effects started becoming a lot more mainstream for motion graphics, they asked me to teach some intro to After Effects courses. And then my buddy Robbie actually recommended me to the folks at lynda.com. At the time, it was lynda.com. Now it's known as LinkedIn Learning. And my first course was actually Motion 3 Essential Training. And from there, I worked my way into After Effects Essential Training and then, you know, countless other shorter courses and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of it was getting started in the post houses and getting to know people and then, you know, making friendships from there and then getting recommended for other positions. I had another situation, like when I was working at the post house where I was an assistant editor and then they had a rotation where you could rotate into the graphics department. And my friend Greg was running the graphics department at the time, or he was the senior artist at the time. And he had worked his way to get an offer from Fox. So Greg, being the amazing stand-up guy that he was, asked me if I wanted to actually be full-time in the graphics department. And I said, yes. And so he switched places for me for his final 2 weeks and actually had me do his work. And then he recommended me as his replacement. And of course, the higher ups were a little nervous about that because I didn't really have very much experience, but they allowed me like a 6-month trial period. And thankfully, I was able to turn that into working for them full time as a motion graphics artist for like 4 years before all the crazy layoff stuff happened. So yeah, people, I guess you could say, just building relationships and friendships, yeah. And yeah, all of that for sure.
It's so funny how small, like being in the right place at the right time lead to opportunities in, you know, a professional career. And with that, like when in your sharing of your knowledge with, well, when it came to training Apple Motion and then After Effects, I think one cool thing is that all of the Boris Effects plugins work within these applications. And you've had your fair share of experience with that, not to mention something coming out, which we'll mention in a second. But I was curious, like out of this massive like package of Boris Effects plugins, like what are your go-tos? And why? Like name two.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, it's really hard for me to just choose individual plugins to go to, because for me, it's kind of all of the packages. Honestly, my first dalliance with Boris Effects plugins was with Sapphire Effects. I was working at Discovery and we had a seat of Sapphire Effects. And the glow and ultra glow and all those, you know, different ways to make things shine and look beautiful kind of just became an integral part of everything that I did. So I guess if I had to choose one, I'm kind of partial to Sapphire Effects with things. It's hard to just pick one. I mean, Zap is cool, Ultra Zap is cool, Glow, Ultra Glow, like. Yeah, I could go on. The other one is, of course, you know, Mocha and Mocha Pro. I mean, that's kind of integral to visual effects. And before Content Aware Fill, I was, you know, working on Mocha Pro and using that to take things out of the background and do wire removals and other fun little projects like that. So, yeah.
Very cool. Being the director of marketing for Continuum, I'm going to strike your answer from the record.
I knew you weren't going to be a fan of that, but you know, yeah, I just had to be honest. I do use Continuum. I love Continuum stuff as well.
I'm just kidding. I'm just totally joking with you, man. but so, speaking about like a personal project, what are you most proud of and why?
Yeah. So it's kind of a hard thing, because when I was working at these various post houses, I kind of ended up becoming what I would call the fixer. If people would end up in a situation where they couldn't get something quite right, I would usually end up on the project at one time or another, whether it's trying to achieve an individual effect or just retouching things or what have you. So unfortunately, in a large portion of my career, I didn't have anything that was specifically mine. I was a very important cog in a much larger machine. So if I had to choose something that's just my own, that's my personal thing that I'm most proud of, it would just have to be teaching in general. I know that's kind of a lame answer somewhat, but I get so much joy when I go to conferences and hear people say, you know, I got my career started because I took your essential training course, or, you know, I saw this one thing that you did and it inspired whatever else. Like, that is really what makes me stoked. Of course, I have projects that I've done that I've enjoyed, but it's really hard for me to just like take a specific motion graphics project and go, yeah, this is mine and this is what I'm most proud of. Honestly, for me, it's teaching. I'd say that's the thing I'm most proud of.
Very cool. I totally get that too. There's something about being able to take anything that you learn, and especially with your expertise, and then through your own style, make that your own. And then people see your personality through the training that you provide, and you can relish in that, because that's your own, versus being, I think in some cases, what you had mentioned, being a button pusher in other environments. Very cool.
Yeah, I get that. I don't mean button pushing in a negative light. It's just when you're a part of a team, you know, I know all of us work in teams. When you're a part of a team like that, it's very hard to just say, this is mine. Like, I've never been involved with larger projects like that, where I could just say, this is mine, if you will.
I totally get that. I think, you know, both with your work with teams or larger teams, and then your training involves big projects, you know, like putting together the essential After Effects course for LinkedIn Learning involved a ton of time, knowing from doing my own essential class. I was wondering, how do you prepare for that?
Yeah. So working with the folks at LinkedIn is a very unique experience. And of course, since I'd been working with lynda.com, you know, years before that, one of the nice things as they've grown and become LinkedIn Learning, they've kept their production process at its core the same. And the big thing with After Effects Essential Training, I got to work with Rob Garrett, who's an amazing trainer, and he and I were able to flesh out the table of contents and really kind of break things down into smaller chunks so that I could come up with, you know, some different assets and really kind of put it together. Another function of the team. Of course, the thing that I liked about that is, you know, he and I would brainstorm on the actual table of contents, but then, you know, he would let me make it my own, if you will, in terms of working with assets and creating different things. And of course, they have an amazing assets team there as well. So sometimes they would give me stuff like a logo, and then I would create motion graphics that work with that logo. And again, the entire time I'm referencing all of my experience with my different, you know, clients and other projects I've worked on in the past. So yeah, it took a really long time. And then there was kind of a major shift a couple of years back with After Effects. When I taught, the first one I came out with was CS6 Essential Training, and then it was CC, and then CC 2015. And when I did the Essential Trainings, the After Effects Essential Training was like 12 hours, 15 hours, like really in depth. And it covered everything from visual effects to motion graphics to what have you. And one of the things they've done at LinkedIn Learning, which I totally respect, is they've kind of broken up Essential Training into different functions. So now there is a motion graphics After Effects Essential Training or a visual effects Essential Training. So they could really kind of dive into those individual channels. But, you know, when I was doing that whole like soup to nuts experience, it was kind of all consuming. I'd have to lock myself in my office for hours on end and not really talk to anyone and just, you know, crank up the music and really kind of zone in to see different ways I could explain things or different ways to come up with assets.
Very cool. I have a series of four rapid fire questions for you. Okay. You ready? So by rapid fire, I'm going to kind of send you a question and you're going to give me like a one sentence response. Okay.
I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah. I think this is a social experiment. You're the first Ask the Artist on our render break, man. So, nice. First question, what's your favorite keyboard shortcut?
Command Z.
Okay.
For sure. Okay. You just got to be able to undo.
Command Z. Got it. Undo.
Yep.
I totally agree with you there. It's a lifesaver, especially as long as there's multiple levels of undo.
Yes. Okay. Yes, for real.
Question two. What's your favorite fuel food snack on a long form project?
Oh, man. It depends on the diet I'm on at the time. So over the years, I've done everything from like paleo to whole 30 to whatever. So I think my favorite snack right now would be an apple with peanut butter. That's absolutely my favorite. Or maybe an apple with almond butter. That's like my really good kind of in the box go-to. Otherwise, like carrots and hummus. And then, of course, you know, if I'm not on any of that, just a good old bag of potato chips. Can't beat that.
Awesome. I love your snacks. You're not quite getting the grasp of the one sentence answer, but nope. I would accept that as a yes. favorite film or TV series at the moment?
Oh, goodness. Favorite film. Okay. Favorite TV series. Let me just jump to that. God, it's so hard to pick one. I guess Dexter would be my favorite TV series. I kind of love the fact that they brought it back after 10 years.
Oh, the new blood on Showtime.
Yeah, no, that was great. And the whole, you know, first several seasons of Dexter was great fun. I like how they twisted you to like root for something that's really messed up.
It's true. It is. It's such a twisted little, well, if you haven't seen the show, I don't want to spoil anything, yeah. But it follows like a kind of like a humane version of a serial killer.
Yes. There's one other show that I absolutely love right now, and I'm totally obsessed with it. It's on Apple TV Plus, and it's called Servant, and it's M. Night Shyamalan. It's absolutely beautiful. The framing, each shot is a piece of artwork. Absolutely stunning, for sure.
I'll have to check that out. I haven't seen it yet.
But yeah, cool. It's very creepy. Yep.
Another show on the to-do list.
Yes.
So if you were to collaborate with someone, either living or dead, director, producer, editor, who would it be?
Honestly, it would be Alfred Hitchcock. And I know that's such an in-the-box answer, but I would just love to actually be able to witness his thought process and exactly see, you know, how did he come up with all this stuff? And it's so iconic. It was just amazing. I'd love to work with him.
Awesome. That's so cool. I would love to work with Alfred Hitchcock too. And then the person who did all his title design at the beginning, I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. Help me out here, Ian.
Of course I know it too, and of course I can't. I know. He's like the grandfather of motion graphics or the godfather of motion graphics. And I can't think of it either. I'm sorry.
I gotta go check out part of the title now.
I'll blame that on COVID. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely splicing in an answer there. Okay.
Yeah.
So great question here. And we've had several conversations on this. So what do you do when you start to feel creative burnout?
Yeah. So as you know, and a lot of other people may already know, but I moved across the country out of the city. I was in the DC metro area, and now I live an hour and a half west of Denver in the mountains of Colorado. So for me, my way to battle burnout is to go out in nature. I may not fully unplug. I'll probably bring my smartphone and still take pictures and video clips. But yeah, that's my best way, out in nature. And in the wintertime, I just go ski or snowboard. That's like the best way for me to reset.
Okay. I love that too, especially where you live in Silverthorne, Colorado. I mean, what a picturesque place to get out into nature and go outside and clear your head when you need to during those burnout moments.
Yeah. I mean, it's been integral for many different things. Saul Bass. Thank you.
Saul Bass. Yes. That have been bugging me for ages. Okay.
Awesome. Yes. That is so embarrassing, but totally true. He's the man.
Cool. So
yes.
Situation. I've just handed you a telephone booth. Okay. It's outside of your townhouse in Colorado. Okay. And it gives you the ability to go back into the past and talk to your younger self. And you have to give them one piece of advice. What would you give them?
Yeah. It's so cliche that you only live once, but honestly, it's with that in mind that I think I would tell myself to have more balance. I mean, I owe where I am today to the fact that I was completely unbalanced when I started my career and just worked as much as I possibly could, oftentimes sleeping in my office. If I could go back and change that one thing, I would do that. There's so much more to life than just what you do. I would definitely try and say I would need to do a little bit more on the balance side of things.
Very cool.
Yeah, I know.
It's last week, I would like to give myself that advice.
Yeah, last week, exactly. Sometimes I forget. Yes, for sure.
Last week, just go back. It's like, hey, take it easy. Go take a little break.
Yep.
You know, we're kind of in is it the second year? It is. It's like the second year of the pandemic, right?
Yep.
That we're entering, super hard to like wrap your head around. And I was wondering, like, during this experience of lockdowns and uncertainty, like, what are some of the tips and tricks that you've learned to keep yourself mentally healthy, beat burnout, like we've discussed, like, but in the lens of the pandemic, and yes, maybe some other daily rituals that you've put into place?
Yeah. First off, I'd like to say mentally healthy is definitely on a spectrum in terms of how healthy everyone feels. But
yep.
Yeah, for me, with COVID and all the lockdowns and everything else, thankfully, you know, up to this point, I don't want to jinx myself, but I've been able to avoid, you know, contracting that. But so in doing that, I was kind of very isolated, just in my house with me and my wife and my dogs. So I guess one thing was exercise. That was huge. At the beginning of this, a lot of people started going stir crazy because they weren't actually getting out and doing things. And I'm very thankful that I live where I live. There's a national forest within 100 yards of my house. So I just walk out the front door and just go up into the mountains and literally get lost and unplug and really just kind of reset myself. And that worked really well for several months, almost the first year. But, you know, as much as I am an introvert, I am also an extrovert. I'm actually one of the people that's right in the middle of the spectrum. So, of course, I have moments where I just got extraordinarily lonely. And so what we would do is set up like Zoom happy hours. And I would do that with coworkers, peers, childhood friends, family, whoever. And we would just say, you know, Thursday at 6 o'clock, we're logging in. This is the Zoom room. And we would, you know, each person would be responsible for making a specific beverage. And we'd have to tell each other what the beverage was, you know, whether it was adult or not. And really just kind of like sit down and try and enjoy each other's company, even though we couldn't be in the actual same room together. So Zoom conferences were kind of key. Google Hangouts, which are now Google Chats, you know, all that sort of stuff. And now I've just transitioned that into convincing people to come vacation and stay at like Airbnbs near me. And we go for hikes. One of my dear friends, James, who I work with at Adobe, actually work for at Adobe, like he and I got together and we hiked a 14,000 foot mountain. And, you know, that was amazing. You know, that kind of stuff has been really key.
That's awesome, man. I've done a 14-footer with you as well, and it's no simple task, my friend. I did the easy one too.
But the way you attacked it, it seemed simple. I couldn't keep up with you. It was killing me. You had that extra, you know, several inches on me in height. I was just like, Nick would do this thing where he would hike ahead because he's like, I can't slow down. I just need to go. And I'd see him and he's this little speck way up in the hills. And, you know, he would stop and he'd sit there and he'd watch me. And I would get right up close. And he's like, oh, great. Now that you're here, I can go again. And I'm like, just wait. For the love of God, just wait. And of course, you know, I was able to repay you on the return trip because I knew how rough it was going to be on the way down. And it was kind of the opposite there for a little bit. But yeah, that was the first Colorado 14er I had ever hiked. So yeah, that was an amazing time.
I got a picture of that still. And I do remember paying for that on the way down. Very, very, it was very painful. Yes.
it was a day. Do you remember the mountain goat? We had the mountain goat that came by and greeted everybody.
Oh yeah. I remember we got some pictures of that. That was so cool.
Yeah.
What a wonderful place in the world, man.
Totally.
Thank you so much for sharing your insight and advice, Ian. And thank you so much for tuning in to Flow State, Stories from the Creative Process.
Thanks so much. Take care, guys.